It's time to wake up with Finch and Cain now on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Good morning and wake up to wake up. Wake up, Greater Bridgeport, Southwestern Connecticut. Wake up. If you're tired of being divided, if you're tired of being bullied, if you're tired of the climate deniers and science deniers, if you're tired of your fellow citizens being gunned down for civil disobedience by Gestapo tactics, this is the place for you. We are here with a special guest who is going to lead us through her difficult story, a story that's going to guide you, wake you up to what we have to do to get the Congress back in Democratic hands or civility hands of some kind, and get gun control, get all kinds of things passed, and get our democracy back. You're in the right place, right, Melissa?
You are in the right place. Good morning, Bill. I don't know about you, but I am completely shattered from this horrible week. This, what happened to Renee Good, and you said for civil disobedience, I would argue for a lot less than that.
Yeah.
From just
a traffic violation.
For being there at wrong place, wrong time.
And, you know, by the way, I got to add.
Yeah.
They're not empowered. ICE is not empowered
no.
to go after citizens.
None of what happened.
They're only
none
empowered
of it
to go after
was
people
okay.
who are, they think are undocumented.
It's a horrific murder of an American citizen.
They didn't suspect her being undocumented.
No. And it is a form of gun violence. Let me tell you, listener, if you, like the two of us, are reeling from the last year of continual chipping away of our democratic institutions, intensifying of political violence, and the utter cruelty and chaos of the current administration, and you feel like our government and our country are almost unrecognizable right now, you're in the right place. Our civil rights, our voting rights, our reproductive rights, the right to free and fair elections and independent media and academic freedom are all under threat right now.
The right to be safe
in your own home, you're at your own home and in your own vehicle. And I say it over and over again. It's not a drill. We need to stand up for what's right and for the rule of law. We need to be the peaceful and persistent resistance to ICE and to the illegal actions of the Trump administration. And we've got to stay informed. And Bill,
and that's what this show's all
about.
Yeah,
you know, that's why I love this show. In addition to getting to speak with our man in Washington, Brett Brosder,
showed us the roadmap to civility.
The seats we're going to flip, that we have to flip across this country this November, every Sunday we're featuring nutmeggers who are walking the walk and fighting for our democratic institutions and norms. And this morning, well, it's no exception. I'm honored and honestly emotional about having my dear friend Kristen Song here
to talk with us. If you don't mind me adding in some context, Melissa, you're the president of the Connecticut Against Gun Violence Board.
You
raise a ton of money to fight gun violence in Connecticut. You should be a hero.
She is my hero.
Your little rubber band.
Okay.
And so this is why it still means so much to you.
It means a lot to me. But it will mean a lot to everyone we talk to about Kristen and with Kristen. And yes, I've had the opportunity to work incredibly closely with her. And I have said this many times to her and to other people. She is the friend I wish I had never met. Truly. Mm-hmm. I wish we had never met under these circumstances. And honestly, we're going to talk about how safe gun storage is pretty much the lowest common denominator of keeping our children safe. Kristen earned her law degree from the University of Connecticut and became a gun safety activist after her 15-year-old son, Ethan, was killed by an unsecured gun in his best friend's home. Mm. And when she learned that the negligent gun owner would not be charged while his 14-year-old son would face manslaughter charges, she decided to change the law.
Upside down law.
Yeah. Huh? She was determined to shift responsibility from children to adults, and she led the effort in Connecticut, along with Connecticut Against Gun Violence and many other of our allies, for the passage of Ethan's law with overwhelming bipartisan support. It required firearms to be secured when children or unauthorized users could access them, and it mandated the creation of a student firearm safety curriculum. And Kristen has expanded her mission nationally since then. She has met with more than 400 legislative offices. I've been at a number of them with her, and there's no one more powerful than Kristen talking about what she's gone through. And she's urged lawmakers to act in the interest of those children's lives. And after the Democrats lost control of the House in 2023, she pivoted to state-level action, where she's helped pass versions of Ethan's law in Michigan, New Mexico, and Maryland, and is currently working with New York, Wisconsin, Minnesota and Illinois, and she continues to lobby in Washington, D.C. She's been featured by all the major national media outlets. And she and her husband, Mike, founded the Ethan Miller Song Foundation. We're going to talk about that later in 2018 to support gun safety education, but also to honor veterans and rescue neglected animals, because those were so close to Ethan's heart. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Okay, I want to make sure that you're... Can we hear you?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now we can hear you speaking into the...
Sorry, I do speak very softly.
That's all right.
But you carry a big stick.
You do. Thank you for being here with us this morning. I hate to say it, but every week we face issues of gun violence in this state and in this country. There's one that smacked us in the face, not to use a horrific pun here, this week.
Yeah.
Gun violence is avoidable, and certainly the way it affects our children is avoidable.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really, my lane. I kind of try to stay in that lane. But it is the number one killer of our children, and it astounds me that there's not more talk about it. You know, I watch the morning news every morning, and I just cannot believe that we are not highlighting the fact that our children are dying at an alarming rate for stuff that, you know, should be 100% preventable. And, you know, I know you and I talked about this. It's very frustrating. I've been doing this for 8 years. I've studied it from every single angle. And the bottom line is that unsecured guns are the number one common denominator of what are killing our children. And the solution is so simple.
It's so simple, and it shouldn't be political.
No, it should not. If you care about children in general and you are a responsible gun owner, this should have absolutely no impact on you, because you are already doing the responsible thing by making sure that your guns are secured when you have unsupervised children in your home.
Yeah. We're going to have to take a break. Okay. When we come back, we're going to talk with Kristen about all of the work she has done in the state since the passage of Ethan's law and what's happened nationally. Hang on. We'll be right back.
What's going on in Connecticut? Find out on Wake Up with Finch and Kane, only on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
We are back. This is Melissa Kane along with Bill Finch on WICC, and we are talking this morning with Kristen Song, who is fighting to ensure that we continue to live in a country where children can be safe from gun violence. I shouldn't even say continue, where we can live in a country.
Once and for all.
Once and for all. Kristen, you were starting to tell us a little bit about your story of how you got to what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this month obviously is extremely difficult for my husband and I and my family. You know, January 19th, Ethan would have turned 23, and then on January 31st, he was killed. So he had just turned 15. He has, you know, just was so excited the morning that he died. He had just gotten his braces off and we went to breakfast, and he spent
that. I know that feeling. That's a great feeling.
I know. It was for him too, because he had him on forever.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was probably the most beautiful conversation we had, because he was just so excited for his future. Mm. And he told me about all his hopes and dreams. He wanted to go to Rice University. He wanted to join the Army because he felt very passionate about this country. He wanted to marry and have 7 children.
Oh, I remember you telling me that.
And still be a Democrat, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, he definitely would be. And, you know, I just remember reaching across the table and just saying, you are going to make such an impact on this world. And literally 4 hours later, I saw 2 police officers walking across my front lawn.
Oh, my goodness.
And they, you know, wouldn't tell us anything. And when we walked into the ER, you know, it was really like the parting of the Red Sea. They were all waiting for the parents of the dead child. And I tried to run towards the bays because I knew that hospital and I knew where my son would be. And the social worker grabbed me and my husband and escorted us into a little room where, you know, really no good news is ever delivered and any sunlight ever reaches. And the ER doctor was from our hometown, and he came in and he just slid down the wall and he buried his hands and his head in his hands and just whispered that your son is gone. And I can tell you, at that moment, everything that I knew, loved, and trusted literally imploded into a million pieces, because he was just minutes ago vibrant, excited, like passionate, empathetic, just an incredibly good kid. And I had the audacity to let my child go to his best friend's house and expect that a parent would love my child as much as I loved their child coming into my home and making sure that their child was safe when they stayed in my house. And unfortunately, that was really the biggest mistake I made, was trusting that another parent cared enough to keep my child safe.
Please, please don't blame yourself, Kristen, because what you have
it's
done.
It's hard. It's
really hard. I know.
As a parent, because your job is to protect your children.
But the laws should have been on your side.
That's
should
right.
Should have been on
Ethan's
side.
And you and Mike.
The laws let you down. The government let you down. Your neighbors let you down.
Yeah. You and Mike have spent the last, now it's been
eight years.
Yeah. 8 years.
Yeah.
Making sure that this doesn't happen to other children. And sadly, it does. I mean, as you tell your story, which shatters
every day
us every time we hear it.
Every day.
Every single day this is happening.
12 children are being shot a day, and the majority of it is from unsecure guns. And so if we could just, I tell people, you know, especially when I'm sitting with the Republicans, can you imagine if we just stored our weapons like we store our children in car seats, how dramatic the deaths in our children would go down? It would be astounding. And it could be an $80 save from Amazon.
Yeah.
Or a $30 gun lock.
Yeah.
So I have sat with Kristen in the offices of Republican lawmakers at the Capitol many, many times and listened to her speak with them, plead, beg, and explain simple logic.
Yeah.
We are at a place in this country where the NRA has so much power.
The bankrupt NRA.
That this simple, truly common sense law and others just simply have not been able to be passed at a national level. And you keep going. You do not stop. And you have done so much work in Connecticut since that law. I want to just make sure everybody knows Ethan's law was strengthened even further with the governor's bill 2 years ago now, 3 years ago now, where it is very clear that if you do not have your gun on your person, and it is not stored securely, you are liable.
Yeah.
That is illegal. So that's all been part of your quest to make this as safe as possible. But tell us about, I guess the feeling of not being able to accomplish what you wanted in D.C. and in nationally and how you've taken it to the other states.
You know, it was really, you know, I had no background in politics. I was a stay-at-home mom. I had no connections, no power, you know.
You didn't think you had any power.
Yeah.
That's a good point, Bill.
And, you know, so when I went down to D.C., Connecticut really embraced, you know, my husband and I. And I will tell you, one of the most astounding things is that the Republicans stepped up.
They sure did,
and they did the right thing. Yep. And they realized that, you know,
this is a tragedy that could be avoided.
100%.
It was logical to step up and do the right
thing. And so I was so proud of, you know, I remember watching Ethan's Law pass in the House and the Senate. And I remember, like, the Republicans and the Democrats, like, high-fiving each other and hugging. And I thought, this is what America is about.
Yeah, getting things done. Yes, getting big things done.
This is my country.
I'm getting emotional because I remember.
Yeah, I think you were sitting right next to me.
Sitting with you as this happened, and there was a feeling of like, wait, we are doing the right thing.
Yes.
And I have to say, sadly, in this state and obviously in the country, that was the high point.
Yeah.
It has not been like that in a passage of gun.
Well, since we've elected the divider in chief, he's only
even before then.
They've only sought ways to pit us against each other. And to think that this is a Republican or Democratic issue is absurd. Yeah. I have a lot of members of my family, immediate and distant, who are members of the NRA. They believe in locking up their guns. They keep their ammunition separate in a separate safe. When I was a councilman, we handed out free gun locks. I was telling your husband before the show, we handed out about 1,000 gun locks, and the line, we couldn't give everybody enough gun locks. People want to do this. They don't want to see people hurt. They don't want America to be the most violent country in the world, bar none. There's no country even close, with a war, they're not as violent as America.
It's incredible.
On an everyday basis. And so our show, Wake Up, is trying to wake people up to Kristen, your family, Ethan, your husband, and trying to get people to take action. Yeah. And when they vote, ask this question. Are you for background checks? Are you for closing the gun show loophole? These are all things that every NRA member I know is in favor of. So why can't we get the law passed?
What is fascinating to me and what we came across in Washington is that, yes, the vast majority of NRA members and responsible gun owners were 100% for this.
Yeah.
And honestly, the NRA had been pro safe storage.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the cynicism that comes with, oh, if a gun is stolen out of someone's house, what happens? What do you think happens?
Well, how about manufacturer's responsibility?
If a gun is stolen out of someone's house, they buy another gun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the cynicism of the gun industry not to get behind this is disgusting. But Kristen, you have done many, many things since getting this passed in Connecticut, and obviously your work in other states. You partnered with Newtown Action Alliance to lead statewide gun buybacks. I was thinking about what Bill was saying about giving away doing safe storage events. Can you tell us what we should be doing? What we can be doing to be helping this effort?
Connecticut people?
Connecticut people, yeah. You're talking to Connecticut right now.
Listen, I talk to so many parents, and a lot of them tell me how uncomfortable they are about asking about guns when their children are going over for a play date.
That's a really good point.
And that it just astounds me, because I wish I had. I wouldn't be in this seat. And believe me, you know, once that gun is shot, the odds of your child living are slim to none. So, you should be empowered. If your child is allergic to peanut butter, my guess is you're going to ask or let that person know.
And every child is allergic to bullets.
Right. Mm. So, like, why you wouldn't be comfortable? I remember right after Ethan died, I remember talking at your event. I did the luncheon.
Yeah.
And I remember this pediatrician coming up to me and saying, this, I think it was months after Ethan died, and saying to me, well, I feel like I'm going to get a lot of pushback from my clients. And I just thought, isn't it your job to protect children?
Gives it
to
you ask if the other parents smoke. I do.
I know.
Yeah.
And so I think we need to get really comfortable with just asking those questions.
But those are
we've
really
become
good.
So comfortable with lethal weapons of war being stored in domestic situations.
Yeah.
With no background
we
checks.
We have
on people.
Become so comfortable with weapons of war. What we see on the streets, we were just talking about this of Washington, D.C., with National Guard members walking around with machine guns.
It's part of the plot to numb us down.
We have been numbed. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things I would like to, Melissa's always saying, what gives you hope? And as we come up on the break, I want to just say that mayors, and I was a mayor for 8 years, and I was privileged to work with the great mayor of New York, Mayor Bloomberg, who started, Mayors Against Illegal Guns, and put his own fortunes behind trying to control this scourge, this public health scourge. And as mayors, they can do gun buybacks. They can do gun lock giveaways. They can do a lot of consciousness raising. So I'll commit to you here, if I can help you with inroads into mayors, that's what gives – Melissa is always asking, what gives you hope? Mayors give me hope. Because mayors can act pretty independently of any other elected office, and they can have a legal pad of things every day they want to get done.
Outside of Connecticut, where we have strengthened these laws, and we there's a path in Connecticut.
Mike had members in Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, mayors in red states that were avid for the kind of activity that you want to promote. So,
awesome. Kristen, we've got to take a break, but when we come back, I want to talk about the Ethan Miller Song Foundation, and we're going to have Brett Brosder join us, our man in Washington. We're going to talk about some races that are flippable in this
and
where this is a huge issue. Yeah. We'll be right back. This is WICC. This is Wake Up.
Let's find out what's on their minds. It's Wake Up with Finch and Kane, live on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
It's Melissa Kane here with Bill Finch, and we are talking with Kristen Song. And Kristen, everything you talk about, there's so much, your power has been such that Connecticut was able to, in a bipartisan way, come together to address gun violence prevention. Hasn't happened so much since the passage of Ethan's law, but it was an extraordinarily powerful moment. Outside of this state, you have had impact in other states, and it sounds like you're still working with some states to pass Ethan's law.
100%. Like you said in my introduction, as soon as we lost the House, my husband and I pivoted right away to the states.
Yeah.
And I think the first state we went to was New Mexico. We flew out there. A child who had stood up to a bully in eighth grade. The child took the bully took the parents' unsecured gun, came in and shot him six times on the playground.
Good Lord.
And we went out and we lobbied with the grandmother to pass Benny's law. So, you know, unfortunately, you know, we are passing these laws on the backs of dead children. And so we are trying to get ahead of that in these states.
That shouldn't be the catalyst.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. And so, you know, we're just talking about the federal part. You know, when we went down to D.C. originally in 2018, it was a much different environment, actually. Republicans were still willing to sit and really chat about the issue. And we did bring some of them along to vote for Ethan's law, which did pass the House. It was not picked up by the Senate, unfortunately. Since then, I will tell you, it is really a conversation that does not go on. The staffers will still talk about it, but
the members don't.
Yeah, the members don't.
On that note, I want to bring in Brett Brosder. Brett, are you here on the line?
Good morning.
Good morning, Brett. Thank you for joining us. We're talking with Kristen about the importance of having members of Congress who are willing to address the fact that gun violence is the scourge of our nation and the number one killer of our children. And I'm wondering if your thoughts on that currently, but also as we talk to you every week about, you know, what seats we think we can flip. Is this an issue at the, you know, district level in any of these races?
Yes. And look, Kristen, it's great to be on with you. And Melissa, thank you for the opportunity as always. Hi, Mayor. And Kristen, thank you for your great work on addressing common sense gun reforms across the country. It's so important. And it's to your point about 2018 being the last time folks were really willing to have these conversations. Hopefully, you know, 2026, the end of it and beyond, we get back to that point with these midterms coming up and we're able to change the balance of at least one of the chambers. And Melissa, to your question, look, so many districts deal with gun violence. I don't know of one that doesn't, but three in particular that are swing districts across the country where we have opportunities to flip. I mean, California 22 is one where if you think the Central Valley of California,
is that Sacramento? Is it Sacramento? Is that Central Valley?
I would think more central here in a way of like Goshen, for example, which Goshen's a place where, you know, in 2023, six people were executed in a farmhouse. A 16-year-old mother tried to carry her baby over a fence to safety. She was shot the baby, both in the head, and Valadao is somebody who won't act on guns still.
And so it's an issue. It is action, because this is what we were talking about during the break. Obviously, it affects every part of this country.
We all
gun
should
violence.
Raise money for Kristen and Mike to fly out to the California 22nd.
Yeah. That's a good point. But the question is, you know, is this a campaign issue?
Yes,
okay.
It is.
That's good.
And it will be more and more. And the unfortunate reality is just, you know, whether it's this incident that we're talking about right now that happened in Goshen a couple of years ago to what happened this past week in Minneapolis, we're just without common sense gun reforms on the books at the federal or state level, we're just going to continue to see unfortunate, disgusting situations like this occur related to gun violence in districts across the country, and it's going to pop up as an issue constantly.
Who is the candidate in California 22 that will give us some hope?
So there's an assembly member named Yasmeet Bains, who's a family doctor as well. She's more of a moderate candidate in the race. And then Randy Villegas, who's a school board member, Working Families backed, endorsed by Bernie Sanders, the general election candidate, I guess, the strongest one against Valadao seemingly would be Yasmeet Bains. But that being said, it's California has that weird top two candidates. So everyone runs for those in the audience who don't know. California has a primary system where everyone, Republicans, Democrats, any other party, run in one big, what they would refer to as a jungle primary.
Mosh pit.
And the top two who win. Yeah, there we go.
I like the body surfer to win, you know. Yeah. Let's hope Yanira is the best body surfer.
So often in these California districts, you can end up with two Republicans or two Democrats, but it's very likely that this being a swing district, you'll end up with the incumbent Republican versus one of those two Democrats.
Okay, okay.
Sounds hopeful for the issues that Kristen's here to talk about. What's the other district?
So another one is in, think, La Crosse, Wisconsin. So we're talking 2 hours outside of Minneapolis where tragedy happened this past week.
Oh, my goodness.
Wisconsin's third district, where a House Republican incumbent named Derek Van Orten is running for re-election. And the key Democrat running against him in this swing district is Rebecca Cook. This is her third time running.
Third time's a charm.
Running. I'm hoping, knocking on wood. And she is a fantastic candidate. She has outraised Derek Van Orten. And this is a district where Trump won by 7, but Van Orten only won by 3 in 2024. So you're talking a bunch of folks who came out and voted for Trump but wouldn't vote for this guy. Mm. So Van Orten is very vulnerable in this midterm year, and it's a great pickup opportunity for Democrats.
What is the issue that's a campaign issue that has to do with gun violence?
Well, La Crosse had its first mass shooting ever a couple of years ago. Saturday night downtown, car drove the wrong way down 3rd Street, shots fired into a crowd outside of a bar, 7 people hit, 1 victim still has the bullet in her leg, and you know, Van Orden still refuses to take action on guns. And,
lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Clearly we need somebody there.
Our country needs an enemy when it comes to guns.
It sure does.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we're a country of gunslingers. Yeah. And it's not even age discriminatory. It could be kids slinging guns. It's just the craziest thing. We raise our kids to be safe, and lo and behold, then we throw a whole bunch of Uzis in the middle of Main Street and say, hey, have a good time riding your bikes around the Uzis. Crazy. It's crazy. And now we have a government Gestapo shooting us willy-nilly in the street for traffic violations. I mean, Jesus, what's
going
on?
We are numb to this violence. That's the other, I think that's the terror. And, one
you know,
the
show is for waking up, right? We want everyone to wake up that this is the most violent country, and it doesn't need to be. If we had more Kristens and Mikes going around telling their story, hopefully we can get through to people like they were able to get through to the red brains, you know, and the blue brains alike. There's no colored brains. I mean, it's just common sense, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's unfortunate that everyone's, you know, that they've taken their corners and they've, you know, kind of shut down
you know,
the conversation.
What I've really hated being a politician was when people talked on their talking points. They didn't talk like in a show like this where we can exchange ideas and freely banter. They had talking points, and you'd say to them, well, but what about this? And they'd go to a talking point that was totally irrelevant. And it was like I didn't even acknowledge my points. And it's the craziest thing. The whole country seems to be on talking points these days.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in fact, ones that are AI generated and have nothing to do with truth at all.
I was shocked. I don't know about you guys, but when after Renee was murdered in cold blood and called
an agitator,
terrible thing after they shot her, I was like, well, this is open and shut, right? Okay, it doesn't matter. Did she bump him? It doesn't matter.
No.
In cold blood, they assassinated this poor woman. And then the right is talking about Charlie Kirk and all this other nutty stuff. I want to talk about this woman and her partner and her wife and her kids.
Who said the most beautiful thing. I don't know if you saw what Renee's wife said. It was really beautiful.
The statement that she read through the media. But, you know, we should dedicate this show to the memory of Renee Good and her wife and her child, because the amount of suffering that your family went through, the amount of suffering that they're going through, doesn't have to happen. We don't have to sit here and talk about, well, what if this and what if that when we talk about gun control. We know that people on the terrorist list shouldn't get guns. Domestic abusers shouldn't get guns.
We know
that there shouldn't be this giant loophole where 40% of the guns are bought in the church basement gun show, for crying out loud, without a background check. Yeah. We know all these things will save lives, and the assault weapon ban did save lives. And until it became a talking point where no one's listening, wake up. That's the show is about.
And unfortunately, there will be no action at the national level. There will be no...
Until the blues control.
Until we can turn over the House and hopefully the Senate.
What's crazy is, you know, after Ethan died, I'm an attorney by trade, and so I went and did massive research about the number one killer of our children all the way back to like the 1800s. And every time that this country acknowledged or identified the number one killer of our children, both parties,
did
the
something.
Entire country came something. Together
right.
to
yeah.
do
Just
something. It was like different. No questions asked.
Yeah.
Now we're on doing vaccines that save their lives.
Yeah. We're going to have to take another break. We'll be back with Kristen. We'll be back with Brett. And we've got Vicky here to talk about some books that have been banned because they address gun violence.
You just shouldn't elect nut jobs. No nut jobs.
All right. We'll be right back.
Fairfield County Talk for Sunday morning. Wake Up with Finch and Kane is live on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
We're back on this sort of really, I think, sad Sunday, thinking about what terrible things
yeah.
have happened this week. But I want to give us some hope. Brett, I want you to tell us about the other district that you have for us this week, where we're hoping to be able to flip a red seat to blue to get some action on gun violence prevention, among other things.
Yeah, well, the third and final district here is in the Commonwealth of Virginia. I think Richmond here. So Virginia's first district. And the House Republican incumbent is Rob Whitman. He's been there for 17 years, but this is a place where Democrats are seeing hope, specifically after Spamberger
sure.
won and flipped his counties that are in this district.
All of them.
And yeah, which is fantastic, and knocking on wood that we can pull this one off. There are 9 candidates running here.
Wow.
The person who is,
When's the primary?
Opportunity in one of these districts, a lot of people run. The primary is June 18th.
Okay, so late.
Yep, it's a later primary. Shannon Taylor, the county prosecutor for Henrico County, is the person who is leading in the fundraising for Democrats. And she ran for AG this last time around, too. Lost in the primary, but she's a great candidate, knows how to fundraise, and very formidable in a general election. And unfortunately, this district is not foreign to dealing with gun violence. So in Newport News nearby, a 6-year-old had brought his mother's gun to school, shot his teacher, Abby Zwerner, in the chest. Gun jammed, 7 rounds left. And thankfully, that teacher survived. But that was where the youngest school shooter in the country at the time had committed violence and
had access to an unsecure gun.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really, really sad. Just highlights the importance of the work Kristen's doing and the need to let folks who are willing to take action on common sense gun reforms, like the mayor had mentioned, on at least banning assault weapons.
And, you know, thanks to Connoisseur Media for giving us this opportunity
That's
to bring
right.
this up, because we just heard promotional ads on the radio about texting and driving. How about shooting, getting shot while visiting? I mean, let's have some
about a promo
awareness.
About the fact that our law is you must store your gun
yeah.
securely or you go to jail. That's
but,
it.
But, you know, I think, you know, we used to sing this song to get our parents to wear seatbelts. When seatbelts first came out, we annoyed them, you know.
Not me.
Oh, yeah. Buckle up for safety. Buckle up. Buckle up for safety. Everybody buckle up. Pull your seatbelt snug. Give an extra tug. Buckle up for safety, everybody. All right. Anyway, I'm a bad singer.
You are. That is almost dead
air. Parents. We changed our parents. They started buckling up. If we would annoy our parents,
well, that's a really good point.
Children's friends, to the point where they freaking store the goddamn.
And youth have been really important as part of the movement. Obviously,
yes.
to try and initiate change. Kristen, have
so
you...
everybody listening
yeah.
can do what Kristen suggested. Tell us again.
Well, you need to really talk to any house that your child is visiting, and that includes when they are teenagers, because that is actually when a child is the most dangerous to themselves or somebody else.
Yeah.
But, you know, to talk about hope, this is probably going to surprise you, but the hope I have down in D.C. is that I've spoken to a gazillion staffers in the Republican offices.
Yeah.
And the reason why it gives me hope is because these children have been directly impacted by gun violence.
They grew up
and
yeah.
they
in
have,
this culture.
Yeah, they have yeah. cried with me. They have shared that their siblings have gained access to an unsecured gun and died
oh
by
goodness.
Suicide. it is a totally different ballgame when you're talking to staffers. So my hope is that
younger people.
Yeah, those are going to be the next folks who are going to be in power.
That's a very good point.
They are going to realize how catastrophic this gun violence has been on our country.
And get off their talking points and start crying together.
Yeah. And when we have, I remember talking to Jody Ernst's staffer, whose brother had died by suicide with an unsecured gun, and just hugging each other, sobbing.
Mm. I think I was down with you. Yeah. It was last year.
Yeah.
Oh, that was, remember that.
That's people so are sad. People.
Joni, on the other hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kristen, you mentioned at the start of the show that the anniversary of Ethan's death is January 31st.
Yes,
it is. It's a really hard month.
Yes.
What you and your family have done to honor his memory during the month of January is so beautiful. I was hoping you would talk a little bit about it.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, we were not able to get to the hospital before we could donate Ethan's organs. And that always, always really bothered me that at least his death would have given life. And so I was walking with my best friend, and she said, why don't you do a blood drive? Mm. Like, give the gift of life. And so this is our fourth annual, and it's incredible.
Tell us where and when.
It's in Guilford, Connecticut, so you just need to go to the Red Cross website. You put in January 31st. You'll see a Guilford date.
We'll put it on our website, too.
Sign up, please, because it really, you know, people don't realize there is a critical shortage of blood. And when you're loved one goes out the door, and if they get into a car accident, you want to make sure that there's enough blood to save them.
Save them, yeah. Sure.
So, yeah, and it's just a way for me to feel like that Ethan's life mattered and that Ethan.
Well, I feel him right here, right now.
We love you, Ethan.
Yeah, he was a great kid.
Never met him, but.
Yeah, he was just so special.
We're lucky to have Vicki Woodard here with us today, who usually is every other week and comes and talks to us about banned books. And for this show, she went and looked back at books that have been banned because they discuss gun violence.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's no shortage. I'll give you a quick list, but there's definitely more than this. A few of these we've covered on previous shows and discussed at length the impact. And I know I've said it a million times, right? I'm a mom. I have two kids. This subject matter is really challenging.
Good mom, too.
Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate that. Guys, Bill did sing that atrocious song to my six-year-old last week. So I've had the pleasure of hearing it twice now.
Okay, let's hope it's the last.
We had lots of obnoxious songs that changed our parents' behavior. I just got warming up.
Maybe we need more. But
I
just
think your voice is amazing, Mayor. Just wanted to chime in with that.
Wow. Thank you.
Brett trying to be the favorite.
In Washington.
Yeah, we're going to give him more airtime now.
There we go. But just getting back to that, there are so many books that involve gun violence that have been banned in part because of the gun violence in the books. But there are also other reasons, in air quotes, that are used to get around saying why they really want to ban these books. So there's definitely an exhaustive list, and this is not all inclusive. Ones that we've covered on previous shows are 19 Minutes by Jodi Picoult. Incredible, incredible book. Oh, absolutely devastating to read. The Hate You Give by Angie Thomas. Another really great one. The Absolutely True Diary of a Part-Time Indian by Sherman Alexie.
We also covered
that one, which was wonderful. And then we've covered a different Jason Reynolds book, but The Long Way Down by Jason Reynolds. We've covered All American Boys, which was an incredible, it's one of my favorite reads of last year.
Yeah.
Ghost Boys by Jewel Parker Rhodes. Arming America, The Origins of National Gun Culture by Michael A. Bellis-Siles. And I'm probably mispronouncing that. And then two that I am going to add to my almost immediate list. And these are compilations. The Forgotten Survivors of Gun Violence, Wounded, edited by Lauren Kleinman. And If I Don't Make It, I Love You, edited by Amy Archer and Lauren Kleinman.
And to be clear, those have been either banned or attempted to be banned.
Banned or challenged in the U.S.
And to make it clear, the reason for the show is we do not believe in banning any books.
Absolutely not.
It's freedom to read in America, freedom to speak, freedom to worship. And you give us advice on the appropriate age for children. What would you say with these books?
So these vary for sure. 19 Minutes, The Hate You Give, and Absolutely True Diary of a Part-Time Indian. I believe I said all of those were, you know, middle grade and above.
13, 14-year-old kids.
Yeah. And again, I know I said it last week and I've said it before. if you are old enough to be a character in the story, you're old enough to read it or have it read to you.
Yeah.
We can't change things that we don't talk about. We can't make an impact if we're hiding from things. It's not always easy. We need to have those conversations. And as parents and caregivers, we need to be open to those really hard conversations with our kids.
Yeah.
Vicki, there was one book you mentioned earlier that was sort of a surprise to us all that I believe is also on this list. And when we talk about hope, I believe To Kill a Mockingbird may have been on this list.
Yeah. To Kill a Mockingbird is one of the all-time most frequently banned books.
But also dealing with gun violence.
Yeah. And like I said, the list is exhaustive. Just because topics are tough, there's no reason to ban these books. Make those decisions as a family.
Kristen was mentioning before we were on the air that To Kill a Mockingbird was the reason she went to law school.
It was the reason. I think I read it in eighth grade or ninth grade, and I decided right there that I wanted to be an advocate, and I wanted to stand up for people who are marginalized and vulnerable. And I think we need more of those types of people in this world, especially right now.
It's so unfortunate that the way that you found your way to being an advocate is the path that you've been forced to follow.
Yes. There's a lot of, I always call it, we're like the reluctant leaders because... Yeah. We didn't ask.
But you are such wonderful. Yeah.
We didn't. We weren't. It's, you know. We didn't aspire to be in the limelight or aspire to be down lobbying. It was really forced upon us, and many don't take that call.
I'm sure Ethan's very proud of his parents.
Yeah, absolutely. He's making a difference.
He's changing the world. We ask every show what gives us hope. I think that Bill and Vicki and I would agree that you are what. Sweet. Give us hope.
Absolutely.
You and Mike and the Ethan Miller Song Foundation and those people who work with you.
Yes.
To try and pass this
complete
law.
Warriors. Oh. I will tell you that this is not an easy, the hate that gets dumped on us every single day because we have the audacity to try to save children is incredible.
So, well, I want you to keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
And know that there are many, many more people in this state and in this country who believe that what you're doing is right, than what you're doing is wrong.
I've never had to be in your position, and hopefully never will. But I have to tell you, as an elected official, they, regardless of party, get a lot of hate dumped on them. And I always told my young staffers, the most important way to judge if you're doing the right thing is to judge you by your enemies.
Yeah.
So your enemies are our enemies. Stay strong.
Stay
keep
strong.
Keep fighting.
Yeah.
Ethan's
huge,
watching.
Huge thank you to our guest, Kristen Song, for joining Bill and me this morning, and to our super sidekicks, Brett Brosder. Sorry we didn't get back to you, Brett, and Vicki Woodard, for their
Brett,
research and essential information every week. And thank you to our producer, Tom Colangelo. And to Connoisseur Media for letting us tell it like it is.
It's only an hour.
It's not long enough.
We can talk to Kristen and Mike for 2-3 hours here, but we'll be back.
We will be back. Thank you to our listeners for waking up with us. I'm Melissa Kane. I'm here with my friend and partner, Bill Finch. And we will be back next week, waking up with you on WICC.
This was the worst wake up I've ever had.
That's a tough one. Have a wonderful Sunday. Stay engaged and stay strong.